Once again, this is Jim Rowell, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We want to give you a brief update of what's going on here in Africa, and then we'll get into the message here in just a minute. We are going this coming week to the border of Tanzania. There's a refugee crisis stirring and happening right now as we speak in Tanzania. The Tanzanian government is forcing the Maasai indigenous people off their land and forcing them to take refuge in Kenya. And so there's a crisis developing on the border of Kenya. It's near the Maasai Mara, right down in the southern part of Kenya, right in the central southern part of Kenya. And these Maasai have been on their land in Tanzania for 7,000 years. It's their indigenous ancestral land. But the government of Tanzania has come up with a scheme to push them off their land and lease this big tract of land. It's many thousands of kilometers, square kilometers of land, and to lease this tract of land to the United Arab Emirates, a country in the Middle East, so that they can develop it for trophy hunting and wildlife preservation, which might be all well and good in some circumstances, but not in this circumstance where it forces the Maasai people off of their land. The land as it stands now is a mixed-use designated land, and it's a beautiful land. I've been through there several times. It's around Arusha. If you go to look on your map, Arusha, A-R-U-S-H-A, in the northern part of Tanzania. And the Maasai live there with their animals. They live there with the wild animals, and they have a cooperative, you might say, approach to the use of the land. The wild animals roam free, and so do their own animals. They have their livestock, their cattle, their sheep, their goats in their land and around their compounds. And so we believe that this is a travesty. It's an international scheme to sell off a piece of Africa or to lease off a piece of Africa, and the Maasai will never get it back. And so I believe this is an injustice. I want you to pray with me regarding this, and we're going to go down there next week and pray with the Maasai people who are refugees and pray and make decrees over this land of Tanzania. And so if you would keep that in your prayers, keep our team in your prayers, and we will see a victory here as the Lord intercedes. The righteous judge intercedes for the people of the Maasai tribe of Tanzania. Well, today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation. And of course, this is the heart and soul of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Jesus said, I came to save people from their sins. I came to destroy the works of the devil. And so he accomplished both of those things. And you, if you're listening today and you've never been saved, you've never made a confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this will be an important message for you to listen to every word of this message. And so you will know what you need to do. And you can too have the assurance of salvation in your life. When you go to sleep at night, you can know that you are saved. You can know that if you don't make it through the night, if you don't wake up the next morning, that you will be saved. You will spend eternity with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And by the same token, if you are already saved and you're listening to this message and you have the assurance of salvation, you know what you need to do to help other people attain salvation, to help other people be ushered into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness. And so you will know without any doubt these are the steps of salvation. And so God will put people in your path, and you can bring up the salvation issue with them. You can bring up the kingdom of God issue with them and lead them then through the steps and lead them to salvation. And beloved, the Bible says that one who wins souls to the Lord is wise. And so that is my prayer for you today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, that you become a soul winner, because then you will be wise. You will have that soul winner's crown when you get to heaven. You'll have rewards when you get to heaven that you never would have thought of otherwise if you're just sitting in the church pew, or even if you're out of the fellowship, but you are a believer. The Lord wants you to be a soul winner. And so that is what we're going to look at today. These are the mechanics, the basics of salvation. And this is all laid out primarily in the book of Romans. This is Paul's manifesto, or some people call it the Constitution of the Christian Faith. This is Apostle Paul's manifesto to the Romans, who were a pagan people, but Paul had a group of believers there in Rome that he preached to and that he discipled, that he ministered to. And so he is telling them this through letters, through a letter to him, to them, that they can take these steps and know that they are saved. Well, the first part of salvation comes from hearing the word. That is the primary reason why I'm in Kenya. That is the primary reason that missionaries go all over the world, to every corner of the world. It's to preach the gospel. It's to let people know that there is a plan of salvation for them. Many people have never heard the gospel explained to them in simple terms, in understandable way. They've never had it explained because they've grown up in a culture of paganism. They've grown up in a culture of other religions where there is no knowledge and understanding of Christ's sacrifice for their sin. There is no knowledge of atonement and repentance of sins. And so Paul lays all this out as to what they must do to hear the word. He says in Romans 10:15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. And then in Romans 10:14, he says, how then shall they call on him? How shall they call on Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so it is important that you understand the preachers must be sent out. Jesus Christ himself said that the harvest is great, or the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so those of you out there who have been associated with the wheat harvest, maybe you're getting ready to harvest right now, or you may be in the harvest field right now. You know that when the harvest is ready and the heads of the wheat bow down, that the harvest is plentiful, that God has given you a bounty, has given you a crop. And so there's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of this needs to be done as quickly as possible. And so people get up early, they grease up the combine, and they go out and they work all day, sometimes till 10 o'clock, midnight at night, cutting. If the conditions are dry, if the conditions are favorable, they cut wheat till late in the night, and then they get up the next day and they do it over again, and they do it for several days, a week, 2 weeks, however long it takes to bring in that harvest. And so Paul says, how can they call on Jesus if they have not believed? And how can they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And so the essential component is there must be trained evangelists. There must be trained people working for the kingdom of God. And beloved, those of you, again, who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it behooves you and it is your obligation to keep training yourself, to keep submitting as a disciple to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and so that you can grow in your faith, you can grow in your understanding, you can grow in your knowledge, and then when the Lord puts people in your path who don't know him as Lord, don't know him as Lord and Savior, you can explain the good news of the gospel to them. You can explain it in a way that they can understand it, that they are convicted of their sins, and then they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Again, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so people have to come to a knowledge and an understanding of Jesus Christ, of his sacrifice, his blood atonement shed on the cross, his blood shed on the cross for their sin. They have to come to a knowledge and an understanding of that, that without confessing Jesus, without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will not and cannot have salvation. The preacher is essential here. The preacher is important here. The preacher is the one who is sent out. The pastors also preach, and they are not just sent out, although they're most of them sent out from away from their hometown or their home territory to another church or another call to preach the gospel. Pastors stay in the same place week after week and preach the gospel, but evangelists go. They go here, they go there, they go to the places where the Lord has opened doors for them. The apostles go here, they go there. They are the sent ones, the missionaries. And so it is very important that you support people who are preaching, support them with your money, support them with your prayers, support them with your financial blessings. Maybe you can support them with work and just helping them in their mission. We had a team of 18 a year ago come over to Kenya that are in the Encounter ministry there in Kansas, and 18 of them then helped us put on a conference here in Kenya that reached out to the people of this area with the good news of the gospel. And so the preachers must be sent, the apostles and missionaries must be sent, and the good news then is shared with people through them to people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The second aspect after hearing the word is you have to have faith to believe. In Romans 10:17, Paul says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then he says in Romans 12:3, "For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So you have a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. And so if you think soberly about your life, you understand that at some point in time you're going to die. If you think soberly about your life, you know that at some point in time your sins are going to have to be accounted for. That's why people have an innate sense of that some things are wrong. To kill another human is wrong, to rape is wrong, and to steal and lie is wrong. Even secular people and pagans know that drunkenness is wrong. And so there is an innate sense or a understanding that transcends Christianity. It transcends certain doctrinal beliefs of Christianity. Even pagans believe, and pagan tribes who have never heard about Jesus Christ have a basic understanding of morality. They might not know exactly where the morality comes from or the basis for their worldview, their moral view, but they know that there has to be some moral worldview. Otherwise, people, even in pagan cultures, would just be killing each other at random all over the place. And so there has to be a measure of faith given to them by the Lord, and so everybody has that measure of faith. And so in Romans 10:10, Paul then goes on to say, "For with heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." And so you put your faith to work, you open up your heart to receive, you open up your heart to receive the word that's being preached to you, or the word that has been written and given to you, the word of the Bible. And so whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And so at some point you have to exercise that faith. Those of you out there today who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, exercise your faith and say, "Lord, show me. Lord, reveal to me. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me in the night, or speak to me as I'm going down the road. Maybe give me a dream or a vision in the night, or speak to me through somebody at a gasoline station, or somebody at my workplace, somebody in my family. Speak to me and reveal to me who you are, if you are who you say you are." And beloved, when you pray that prayer and ask God to reveal himself to you, He will reveal himself to you. He will show you, and he will show you that he is mighty to save and that he cares about you. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die just for you. And the Bible says that even creation speaks to us about the attributes of God. Even creation speaks to us about the greatness of God, his love for us. And even those pagans living way out in the jungle or in some remote area who've never heard the gospel, many times when the missionaries make contact with them, they find out those people have a word for Creator God. They have an understanding of Creator God. In some cases, they might even have a revelation of Jesus Christ, his son. And so God speaks to people even through creation and reveals to them his invisible attributes. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and the verses after that. God says, I reveal myself to people, even those who don't know me, because I can speak to them through the beauty and the grandeur and the magnificence of my creation. So that Romans 10:10 is a key verse for salvation. Romans 10:10 again, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it starts in the heart first. And the Lord says, I'm going to put my commandments on their heart. And the Lord says, love me with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And so it starts with the heart first. There's a heart change, a heart conversion. And when your heart meets the kingdom of God and the word of God, when your heart meets Jesus Christ, your heart will melt, and that stony, hard heart, that hard heart that is encased by sin and is encased by rebellion and unrighteousness, that heart starts to melt, and it receives the word of God, it receives the love of Jesus Christ, it receives the message of the salvation of Jesus Christ for your life, it receives that sacrifice that Jesus made for you on the cross, and you start to have an understanding then of your own predicament, your own despair, your own rebellion away from God. And that at that point then, you are ready to make a confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Well, in a scripture that accompanies Romans 10:10, right before it, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so part of the believing in Jesus Christ is that you believe that he was raised from the dead. This is a sticking point for many people because some people don't understand that God has the power and Jesus had the power to raise himself up from death. But Jesus took authority over death. O death, where is your sting? And so Jesus took authority over death, and he showed the world and he showed the devil that death had no power over him. And so with your mouth, you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You confess that, and at the same time, you also believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that he now sits at the right hand of God. Well, a confession was made by a lady named Martha, who was a friend of Jesus. Martha and Mary, two sisters, and they were sisters to a man who had died named Lazarus. You can read all about that in John chapter 11. And so Jesus goes to minister to these people, and his intent was to go and raise Lazarus from the dead to prove that Jesus Christ and his power could raise even dead people back to life. And so Jesus is saying to Martha, Martha had run out and greeted Jesus, had met him, and said, oh Lord, if you had been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died and all this. Well, Jesus said to her in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this? And so this is the question that Jesus is asking Martha, do you believe that if you believe in me, you shall never die? And do you believe this, Martha? Is this what you believe? And Martha, in 11:27, Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. The confession of faith, when we go to preach crusades, we have an altar call for salvation. After the gospel message has been presented, we have an altar call for salvation, and we say to people, come to the altar, and then we ask them the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died for your sins, that he went to the cross, and he shed his precious blood for your sins, and do you believe now that he sits at the right hand of God to make intercession for you, to be an advocate for you, for your sins, that he will speak to God on your behalf in regard to your sins, and he will intercede. His blood covers your sin. His blood washes your sin away. If you have repented of your sin, his blood washes your sin away. It cleans you. It cleanses you. And so you are then a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are new. The old has passed away. And so at that point in time, when Jesus' blood washes your sins away, when Jesus' blood cleanses you of all unrighteousness, then you are a new creation. All the things that you did in the past out of either willful evil intention, or out of ignorance, all those things that you did which are sin and separated you from God, those things are washed away, and you are then now a new creation. A new creation with a new heart, a clean slate, and you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so the confession that Martha made is the very same confession that we have to make, that you have to make. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. Okay, so in Romans 10:9, we talked about the confession. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so the confession is very important. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so the confession is very important. If you believe, if you have faith to believe, if you've heard the word and you believe and you confess that Jesus is your Lord and you confess and repent of your sins, then Jesus said, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, then I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And he wants you to confess before men. He doesn't want you to be a secret agent Christian with just speaking this under your breath or with a scarf over your face. He wants you to confess before men so that men know this is what you believe, and also that you in your own heart confess that this is what you believe. And so it becomes a solidified or crystallized part of your being, part of your soul, part of your spirit, part of your body. You speak with your mouth. You speak with your mouth. You speak with your tongue. This is what I believe. I believe this, and I want other people to know this is what I believe. Beloved, as a Christian, you can't hide from your faith. You can't run from your faith when the going gets tough. You're going to be in a battle. You're signing up your life to be in a battle, not only for your own salvation after that's taken care of, but then you're in a battle to help other people know the good news of the gospel and to see to it that other people get saved. Well, we're going to talk about repentance in next week's message. Repentance is a part of salvation. It's a part of the confession, and it's a big subject, so we'll take this up next week, repentance, and how you can understand and know that when you have repented of your sins, then the blood of Jesus washes your sins away, and you are then ushered into the kingdom of God. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for the many years, and we invite you to help support this ministry. We invite you to sit down and write out a check. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you want to see these radio broadcasts continue and all the good work going on in Africa and the good work going on in the Crusades and the Children's Home. And so we'd love to hear from you. Sit down and do that today. You will be blessed. We will be blessed. Continue to pray for this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.